Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Judges, chapter 1. And if we can read the words that we have in verse 1. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first? To fight against them." It's the first Lord's Day of a new year. And for those who weren't here on New Year's Day, we met here, of course, for the service on the first. For those who weren't here, can I, on behalf of myself and Katrina and Rachel, Alison, and Lydia, wish you a very good and prosperous new year. We wish you all, and any who listen in today, I wish on behalf of myself and the family every blessing for this coming year. Every year brings its own different trials, its own blessings. 2021 would not be any different. If you look at every year, there are different things that come our way. As we mentioned on New Year's Day, on New Year's morning, I took the service, and it was the 19th time I took a New Year's Day service in the congregation here. And if you look back over these 19 years, how things have changed, how things were 19 years ago are completely different. In the world, in the church, everything's changing. Nothing remains the same. And yet, at the same time, there is nothing new under the sun. Different things come along and different experiences, but yet, essentially, there is really nothing new under the sun. We see how our nation, for example, falls away. We see how things have changed in our nation with regards to the gospel, but that's not new. All the sin that you see in this world comes from the one source. It's the source of the fall of our first parents, the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And all the sin that flows from that, all the sorrows that flow from that, even death itself, there's nothing new. It all comes from the same source. And all the trials and everything that we see in the world, it all comes from man's rebellion against God. Man's rebellion against his creator. It all comes from there. And there is nothing really then new under the sun. Things change. Different circumstances come along. But it's all telling us the same thing, that man has rebelled against his creator, and man needs to be reconciled to God. When we come to the beginning of a year then, what I want to do today is to do three things. First of all, I want to give an encouragement. Secondly, I want to give a warning. And thirdly, we want to have a comfort. The Bible gives you all these things. The Bible gives you an encouragement. It gives you a warning. And it gives you a comfort. And what better way to start 2022 than to have these three things from God's word? An encouragement, a warning, and a comfort. Let's then go to the first of these, an encouragement. The Bible encourages us in the scripture, in the portion of scripture that we have read today, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first, and all that goes on there. There is an encouragement, I suggest to you, to three things. And these three things are an encouragement to us even today. The first encouragement is to seek the blessings of the covenant of God, the covenant that we have. To seek the blessings of God's covenant promise. You see, the children of Israel at this time had the promise that the land was theirs. Abraham had been given that promise. The land that he stood upon, that would be theirs. Think of what the psalmist that we sung, the nations of Canaan, by his almighty hand, which for inheritance to them by line he did divide. The children of Israel had the promise of the promised land by inheritance. God had promised it to them through Abraham. But at this point in time, they were not enjoying the blessings of that promise. They were not, Judah and the tribes were not yet settled in their portion. In other words, they had the promise of the blessing, but they weren't enjoying it. They had the promise of the land of promise, but they weren't farming that land. They weren't plowing the land. They weren't reaping the fruit of the land of promise. Now, surely that is an encouragement to us today to seek the fruit of the blessings that are to be found in the covenant of grace. It is one thing for us to know that the promise is there, the promise is given. The promise was given to the children of Israel. It was their promise. But they had to go in and receive that promise, exercise. They had to go in and get that promise. They had to go into the promised land and start to farm it, that they would reap the fruit of the promise that had been given. The promise is given to the church today. Not given to the world, it's given to the church. The promise is unto thy, that to thy, and to thy seed after thee, to thy children. There is a promise given to the church that it specifically says that whosoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, and that they will know the fruit of the covenant of grace. Now, it's one thing for us to know about the covenant. It's one thing for us to know that we may even be a recipient of that covenant, but we need to have the fruit of the covenant. We need to know the blessings of the covenant. What are the blessings of the covenant of grace that we receive from the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, peace. Peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. A joy which is unspeakable and that is full of glory. The hope that is within you, the hope of glory. Peace, joy, love, long suffering. All these, the fruit of Christ's finished work. Let us in 2022 not just say that we know all about the covenant of grace, or that we know that there is a promise within the covenant of grace, but let us seek today and this year to experience it and to know the fruit of the covenant of grace. To know joy, peace, all that comes from Jesus Christ and from the covenant. Let us go in. Let us go into the promised land and let us experience the fruit that we can have from that land. That's where the children of Israel were. They were to seek the blessings, not just the promise, but the fruit of that promise by entering into the promised land, by casting out the Canaanites and farming it themselves. Let us then in 2022 seek the blessings of the covenant of grace. But there's a second thing here. And that is, we are encouraged not only to seek the blessing, but we are encouraged to seek the blessing in prayer and by prayer. You think of this time that in the history of the children of Israel, Joshua has died. We see that at the beginning, after the death of Joshua. That was a great blow to the children of Israel. Joshua is now dead. You think of all that Moses had brought them out of Egypt, but Joshua was the great leader that had brought them into the promised land. You remember them crossing over. Remember Jericho, Joshua, the great leader. He had brought them in, but now he's dead. What are the children of Israel to do? Well, they could reminisce. They could think about all the great blessings that there had been in the days of Joshua. They could think back to all that Joshua had done for them. They could think back to them crossing into the promised land. They could think of the walls of Jericho falling down. They could reminisce about days past. Isn't it a great time of year when we come to the end of one year and the beginning of another year to reminisce? I think back when I was young, I was brought up in the Free Church, and the congregation that I was in Glasgow, the balcony upstairs, one half of the balcony upstairs would probably hold more people than many of our whole congregations today. And you can reminisce. I can think of an elders box that was filled with godly elders. Then I would go to Skye, and I was in Uig, the smaller part of the Snizer congregation. When I was young, used to go up there, and the elders' box wouldn't hold the elders. Packed with godly men. Then we can reminisce back and think of these days, and we can be brought to think upon the godly people over the many years that we've known in our own experience and have passed into eternity. They're no longer with us. What are we to do when God's people are taken out of this world? Well, we can reminisce. Or we can do what the children of Israel did. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites?" You see, the children of Israel had every reason to reminisce about days past. And it is good for us to sometimes reminisce about days past. But surely at the beginning of 2022, it's not a time just to reminisce about days past and what was, but to call upon the name of the Lord and to seek the Lord. It's the day when we are to seek the Lord in prayer. Remember how Paul himself, when he speaks about the whole armor of God, he speaks about in chapter 6, one of the things that he brings before us, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. One of the aspects of the armor of God is prayer. My friend, if there's anything the church needs today, it's prayer. Even as it was in the day of Israel, when Joshua died, when this event happened, now they sought the Lord. Let us then, rather than simply reminisce, let us seek the Lord in prayer. But the third thing, if they were to seek the blessings in the promised land, and they were to go in and farm that land and get the fruit of the land, and if they were to seek it by prayer to the Lord, think of the third thing, and that is, they were to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you get that? How do you work that out? Well, if you look at what they are told, the Lord said, "Send Judah. Judah shall go up before you." It is Judah who will be the first to go in to fight the Canaanites. Why Judah? Why was it to be the tribe of Judah? Because it was from the tribe of Judah that Messiah would come. Think of the blessings that there would be on Judah. This was the tribe whom thy brethren shall praise. The hand of Judah shall be on the neck of his enemies. And out of the tribe of Judah will come the lion of the tribe of Judah, who ultimately will be the one in whom the victory, the true victory, would appear. And if you think of Joshua, the death of Joshua, Joshua dies. And who's now going to take over? Well, Judah, a tribe. But the trouble is, the tribe of Judah, the history would be that the tribe of Judah, even it, the scepter would be there in the tribe of Judah, but eventually the scepter would depart out of the tribe of Judah. One would rise up who would die, even like Joshua. Joshua died, Who is going to now fight for us? The Lord Jesus Christ died. But you see, in his death, the disciples themselves were saying that, weren't they? We thought that this was the Messiah. We thought that he was the one who would bring us the victory. My friend, in the death of Jesus Christ, when he died, he rose again. And the victory is to be found in him. He would be the king who would rule over his people. So that even when they prayed, they were directed to the one tribe from which the Messiah would come. If in 2022 we are encouraged to seek the blessings of the covenant of grace, if we are to seek the blessings in prayer, my friend, we are to find them in Jesus Christ the Lord. That is where you will find the true blessings of the covenant of grace. When you come, and when you are able to come against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and you are able to do so with the whole armor of God, which is to be found in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ, hope in him. He's the one who would ultimately bring forth the victory. So in 2022, let us seek the blessing of the covenant. Let us seek it by prayer, and let us seek the Lord Jesus Christ. But if that is the encouragement, think of the warning. The Bible always gives us a warning. When you go back to the time when Joshua dies and the children of Israel are there, what do you find? You find that really there are only two different groups in the world. There is only one division to be found in the world. There are different nations. There are ethnic groups. There are different religions, religious groups, including atheism, which is just a religion. There are different cultural groups. There are LGBT, there are transgender groups, and there are all these different cultural groups. But you see, really, in all the differences that there are in this country, if you think of the differences that there are in Britain today, a multicultural, multi-religious, multi-everything society. You think through society, and what do you find? There are so many different beliefs, so many different cultures, so many different things. You would find a country, as is true probably in most countries, you would find that if you go to look at it, there is a multiplicity of differences in our nation. And yet, at the end of the day, there is really only one division. That is there in Joshua's day when he dies. Those who are the Lord's people and those who are not. Those who are Israel and all the different Canaanites who are not. That was a big difference. And that, my friend, is the true division that there is in the world today. Those who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are the church, and those who are not. Differences. And you notice here, when you come to this, how those who are against Israel, how readily they unite together. You see that when you read down it, when they come against it. In verse 5, they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And you then go on to see that 70 kings were under the authority of Adonai Bezek. They were all united together. It's the one thing that unites, and that's what Psalm 2, remember how Psalm 2 says, kings of the earth and princes and the people are all combined against the Lord anointed, and saying, let us cast their bonds from us. Let us cast his bonds from us. Let us cast aside the bands that keep us. He that in heaven sits shall laugh. The Lord shall scorn them all. It's the one thing. Man is united. And my friend, here is the thing that we need to be warned about is how powerful the forces were against Israel. 10,000 men of an army joining together against God's people in the day of which we're reading. And they were determined to occupy the ground that belonged to God's people. The devil is determined to occupy the places of the church. The devil is determined to occupy the pulpits of the church. The devil is determined to occupy the land of promise. And all these different Canaanites that were there, they were simply the pawns of the devil seeking to destroy God's people. And the best way to destroy God's people is to occupy the land of promise. The best way that the devil will destroy the church of Christ is for him to occupy the pulpits of our land. The devil wants to destroy the church. And notice here that there is one man that represents the devil. Adonai Bezek. You find him. You find him in verse 6. But Adonai Bezek fled in the pursuit after him. You see him in verse 5. And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek. Throughout the whole of the Old Testament, you not only have those who are pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua, for example, a type of Christ. Moses and the prophets, types of Christ. David the king, a type of Christ. But through the Old Testament, you also have those who are foreshadowing the devil himself. Pharaoh in Egypt, one simply represents the evil of the devil. And Adonai Bezek here is one such man. He represents the devil. And notice how powerful Adonai Bezek is. This is our most powerful king. He has subdued 70 other kings, we are told. 70 kings having their thumbs and their great toes cut off. Adonai Bezek said. This is a powerful man. This is a man that has power over the kings of that area, the kings of these nations. 70, 70 kings he has now subdued. My friend, how powerful the forces of darkness really are. How powerful this one man is. My friend, how powerful the devil is. He is a powerful force. He is a force that will come up against, that will seek to overcome and to seek to overthrow even the Messiah himself. The devil is powerful. Not only is the devil powerful, he is ruthless. Adonai Bezek was ruthless. These 70 kings had their thumbs and their toes cut off. My friend, that's a ruthless man. My friend, the devil is ruthless. He doesn't care for the souls of those that he drags into a lost eternity with him. He doesn't care. He is a hard taskmaster, and he will do anything and everything to keep his subjects under his thumb. 70 kings he had subdued in a most ruthless way. But not only was he ruthless, he brought these 70 kings into bondage. They sat at his table. They sat at his table, we are told. They gathered their meat under my table, under my table. They fed on the mere crumbs that Adonai Bezek gave to them. My friend, they were in bondage. They knew it. But you see, the world that is out there today, it's in bondage to the devil. Are they even blind to it? The world that's out there feeds on the crumbs that the devil drops under his table for them. and they're even blind to the fact that they are in bondage. Man thinks that he's free. His freedom is to do what he likes, live as he pleases, and he thinks he's free. My friend, that is absolute bondage to sin. That's what the devil loves. You see. He loves man to be in bondage to his sin. Adonai Bezek had these 70 kings in bondage to him. My friend, that's a warning to every one of us as we enter into 2022. The power of the devil. All that this king has, the power and the ruthlessness of him, and how he brings all into bondage. There's a picture of the devil. It's a picture ultimately of the Antichrist, who will bring kings into bondage to himself and rise up against God's people. That's a warning. If we have an encouragement to seek the blessings, we have a warning about the devil. But then finally, we have a comfort. What is the comfort? Well, in the days of Joshua, when Joshua died, what were the children of Israel going to do? They were going to pray to the Lord. And what did the Lord do? The Lord raised up judges. He raised up judges for 300 years. He raised up different judges. He raised up a Gideon to fight against the Midianites. He raised up Samson against the Philistines. See all these different nations rising up against God's people. And for this time, God would raise up different judges. These were men that the Lord himself raised up. These were men that God made leaders. They weren't leaders and they weren't kings, because they weren't kings by birth or by blood. They were just judges, i.e. not sitting in a court judging, but they were leaders that God would raise up and he would bless the children, but they would die. The children of Israel would fall away again. There was no king. There was no king. And during this time, even Judah, the tribe, would come to Simeon and said to Simeon, let's the two of us go and we'll conquer the land. And when you've conquered Judah, I'll help you conquer. You see how they were together. That's a wonderful encouragement to us and a comfort to us today, that the Christian, the Lord's people, are all in the same battle. You're not on your own. You're not fighting the battle. And you might think, sit there thinking, I've got a battle on here and nobody else has this battle. Every Christian has that battle. And how Judah encouraged Simeon, and we ought to encourage one another. How Simeon would encourage Judah. Are you an encourager? The beginning of 2022, are you an encourager to your brethren? We ought to be encouragers. But you see, at the end of the day, they still needed a king. And the judges carried on until there came a king, David the king. But that was just looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the King and is the King of Kings. And what happens then? Well, he dies, just as Joshua died. Joshua, the name is Jesus. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus, Joshua. He dies, and you're left with judges. But Jesus dies, and he rises again. And what happens? Adonai Bezek is dethroned. The devil is dethroned. My friend, today the devil is dethroned. The devil is no longer ruling over the nations of the world. Not only has Jesus Christ secured the land and the blessings that belong to his people, he has actually dethroned the devil out of his own lands. Out of the Philistines, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Moabites, going out into all the ends of the earth. The devil is now dethroned because Jesus Christ has come and he has dethroned him. Does that mean that the devil is no longer alive? Well, Adonai Bezek was still alive. They didn't kill Adonai Bezek. It's that they're told that he cut off his thumbs and his great toes. Adonai Bezek was still alive. And he remained alive. And today the devil is still alive. He's not dead. The devil is still there. But my friend, notice this. His thumb and his toes have been cut off. What does that mean? Well, if you were a Roman soldier, for example, or if you're a soldier and you had no thumb, you couldn't be a soldier. Your power really has been taken away. He fled, but when he was caught, the toes were cut off. You might think that that's savage, but my friend, you think of the devil. You think of the devil. And today, the devil, his power has been removed. Oh, he's still powerful. Adonai Bezek was still alive, but the power that he had before is no longer there. There's no real power there. In other words, he doesn't have the power now to come and destroy God's people. He does not now have the power to come and do what Adonai Bezek did. The devil is a defeated enemy. And Adonai Bezek himself recognizes that his day is numbered. Look what it says, and Adonai, verse 7, Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done so, God hath requited me. The devil knows that he is a defeated enemy. The devil knows that at the cross, his power has been, and his end has been secured. The devil knows that. And exactly as he had done to others, now Adonai Bezek has done to himself. What a great comfort, isn't it, today, to know that the devil is not the power that he once was among the Gentile nations. The devil does not have the power now that he had once before. The prince of this world has been cast out. And Jesus Christ now has all the power in heaven and in earth. And not even the gates of hell will ever defeat God's people. What a great comfort. Now that brings us then just in, and I've gone over the time, but just an application. There is a clear division in this world. The battle lines are drawn. Where do you stand? Are you in the Lord's side? Are you fighting that battle? And my friend, if you are fighting the battle, why are you acting as though you're a defeated person? The victory is in Jesus Christ. How the church now needs to rise up with the authority of Jesus Christ, with the power of Jesus Christ, and know that the devil is defeated. Put on the whole armor of God and fight as though you are fighting on the winning side. That's what we should be doing in 2022. Not acting as though we are defeated, but living as though we are under the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. The battle lines are drawn. Are you part of that army that is putting on the whole armor of God? Because we fight not against flesh and blood, but about principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. It is a great enemy that we are fighting. But greater is the Lord who has got us the victory. Because here is what the apostle says, the God of peace. Now listen to that, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Satan is defeated. Adonai Bezek was ultimately taken to Jerusalem, and there he died. My friend, the end of Satan is secure. We are yet on mercy's ground. And the question is, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me, says the Lord Jesus Christ, because the victory is to be found over the world, the flesh, and the devil. It is found in me. Let us be in the Lord's side. Let us act as though we are on the Lord's side. Let us go in and experience the wonderful blessings that are to be found in the covenant that God has made. Let us reap the fruit of the land of promise. Let us pray that the Lord will bless us this year. Let us pray.